3 John, 2nd verse. Beloved, so we know right then that what? He loves me. And we each can say that and need to. I pray or I wish, I desire that in all respects, or that above all things, that you may prosper and be in good health. It just does my heart good to read that verse and know that the Lord says, above all things, He wants me to prosper and be in good health. And you know, we said too often, though, we stop there. But the next phrase says, just as or even as my soul prospers. And we don't like that relationship sometimes because we don't really focus on making sure our soul is prospering. So we've been talking about what a prosperous soul is. We've defined the soul as the seat of feelings, desires, affections, emotions, thoughts, and imaginations. Now, having said that, the soul is the attack zone for the devil, too. That's where he's going to come against us. And really, our soul is where we live this life from. And our soul is connected to, we are a three-part being, and our soul is tightly connected to our spirit. And so everything we receive from the Lord comes through our spirit, to our spirit, through our soul, and manifests itself here in the earth and in our body. So it says to me that we need to focus on a prosperous soul, not just try to get well, if I can say it that way. And so we want to talk some more about that today. Now, as I prayed about what to teach Monday afternoon, I heard this phrase. Don't mean I heard it audibly, but in my spirit. I heard, hope abounds in a prosperous soul. Hope abounds in a prosperous soul. So today I want to talk about hope. And what is hope? How do we define hope? Hope is the word elpis in the Greek. It literally means to anticipate with pleasure. And that, therefore, we teach a lot here, and Trey and Robert also, that hope is a joyful, confident expectation. A confident and joyful expectation. Now, why can it be joyful? Because if we're confident, we know we have the answer to what we're hoping for, and our faith is going to bring it in and manifest it. And so our joy is a good gauge of our hope. I looked this up in the word hope up in Webster's Dictionary, because we talk a lot about what the world says about hope, and I found it interesting. As an intransitive verb, I mean, that's a verb that's not connected to an object. What it really means in the English language today is to want something to happen or to want something to be true. And I found it interesting that for that same definition, the dictionary had the word archaic, which means what? This is what it used to mean. And you know what it used to mean? Trust. We've changed. I looked it up as a noun. And the first entry for a noun, before they defined it, they said archaic. And it meant trust and reliance. So I begin to ask myself the question, what's changed? And what's changed is the focus or the source of our hope has changed from where it was originally supposed to be set on the Lord to things, to circumstances, to people here on the earth. And so we're looking at things here on the earth versus looking at our faithful God and Him being faithful to all of His Word. Now, when I first thought about this, my first inclination was, what is a good example of a prosperous soul? And you don't have to turn there because I'm not going to teach it, but I want to read it to you. And I didn't even put it on the notes for Miss Emmy. But in Psalms 112, it describes, and I would say it this way, who we ought to be, but even more importantly, who we can be. Now, as we read this chapter, I want you to think about some of the things we learned from John last week in 3 John. He gave us some insight as to what a prosperous soul was. It dealt with love. It dealt with truth. It dealt with His will for us. We talked about joy, peace, and rest. And today I want to add His faithfulness. So listen to this psalm. Praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in His commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. That's a great confession over kids and grandkids. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in His house, and His righteousness endures forever. Light arises in the darkness for the upright. Light arises in the darkness. So when things look bad, what is this man expecting? Light. He's gracious and compassionate and righteous. It is well with the man who is gracious and lends. He will maintain his cause in judgment. For he will never be shaken. The righteous will be remembered forever. He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is upheld. He will not fear until he looks with satisfaction on his adversaries. He's given freely to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted in honor. And then it says the wicked will see it. What are the wicked going to see? The blessing of the Lord on that righteous man. They're going to notice a difference. And they will gnash their teeth and melt away. And the desire of the wicked will perish. So that to me is a picture of a prosperous man. Now, how do I know he's prosperous? A man with a prosperous soul. How do I know that? Because it gives all the attributes of what John just talked about and how we ought to prosper when we have a prosperous soul. Now, I want you to turn to Romans 15. And this is where I want you to begin to see yourself today. Romans 15. The 13th verse. And we're going to come back to it. In fact, I think it's the last scripture we'll talk about today. But I was just impressed to start with it. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I really like this verse. I remember the day it kind of came alive to me. Now may the God of hope. Now, what is that saying to us? Is it saying that God has an element of hope in His nature? Yes. But it's also saying, as naming Him as the God of hope, where our eyes ought to be fixed upon. And look what He's going to do. He is going to fill us with all joy and peace in believing. Who's going to fill us? Me? I've got to work for it? No. He's going to fill us. And why is He doing that? So that I will abound in hope. And how am I going to abound in hope? I'm going to do it because of the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in me. So when we look at this, we don't need to try to see ourselves as working up hope, as saying, I've got to hope. What do we need to do? We need to turn back to Him and let His power in us build us up. Let's go to 1 Timothy 1. And I've got a lot of scriptures today. And we'll actually get to a point where I'm going to tell you, if you're taking notes, just write down the verse, and because we're going to go quickly at the end to encourage us in some areas. But 1 Timothy, the first verse. As I was preparing this, the Lord said to me that I need to be more cautious or go more slowly when I start a new book and to read the salutations in the book. There's a lot of good in there. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the commandments of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus, who is our hope. So if I asked you what is hope, you should say what? It is the person of Jesus, which is also what? What's synonymous with Jesus? The Word of God. He is the Word. He and the Word are one. So we get Scripture telling us that Jesus the person is my hope, and we can know that all he said in this word to us is the basis for our hope. 2 Thessalonians, right there near you. Second chapter, 16th verse. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal, let's just stress that word there, has given us eternal comfort and what? Good hope by grace. So he's telling us here again where our hope comes from, but he's categorizing it as good hope. And how does it come to us? By nothing we deserve, by nothing we've earned. It comes through the grace that came as Jesus came. And then we go to 1 Peter, the first chapter. Third verse. 1 Peter, first chapter, third verse. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and our accepting him. Now, here it's calling it not just a good hope, but a what? A living hope. How is it living? Why is it a living hope? Because the person in whom we're placing our hope is alive. And our hope ought to be alive as well, just as we say the Word of God is alive. And then in the same chapter, 1 Peter 1, the 13th verse. And I want to read you this in the... let me read it to you in my New American Standard, and then I'll read it to you in the Amplified. Therefore, gird your minds for action. So he's telling us we have some role in this. Gird your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope. Now, what does fix mean? To place it, to establish it so it doesn't waver. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So here he's talking about the Word and the revelation that we get from the Word. The Amplified Bible, which we have on the screen. So brace up your minds. Be sober, circumspect, morally alert. Set your hope wholly and unchangeably on the grace, that divine favor, that is coming to you when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is revealed to us. I want to read you one more. The Wiest or Woost, I never have understood how you're supposed to pronounce his name. And that's what I get every time I say that. Half the congregation says one thing and half the other. Knowing some Germans as I do, I would say Woost is probably correct. It's probably Woost, actually, but who knows. Wherefore, having put out of the way once for all, everything that would impede the free action of your mind. Now let's stop there. We have to put it out of our way. There's a lot in Scripture. In fact, Robert and I were talking about it recently, where it tells us to put off that old man. And I want to tell you, sometimes you have to put something off in order to put on the new. And that's what it's telling us here. So it says, put off out of the way, once and for all, everything that would impede the free action of your mind. Be calm. Does that sound like rest that we talked about last week? And collected in spirit. And set your hope perfectly, wholly, unchangeably. And then this is the phrase that I'm really reading this for because it leads us to where we're going. Without doubt and without despondency. Upon the grace that is being brought to you. Now notice this phrase, being brought. So what does that tell us? Grace is constantly coming to us over and over. It's not a one-time thing. Being brought to you upon the occasion of the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, be calm and collected in spirit and set our hope perfectly, unchangeably, without doubt and despondency upon Jesus. And I want to say it this way. Jesus alone, the Word, Same thing. That is our hope. That is where we're to place our hope. It's not Jesus plus anything. Now, quite often for me, when things have come against me, I'm not knocking what I'm about to say. Okay? I'm talking about medicine and doctors. I'm not knocking that, but the point I want to make, it's my hope is not set on Jesus and a pill. My hope is not set on Jesus nor a doctor who I know is a very good doctor. My hope is on Jesus, and these other things are things that the Lord may use in bringing this health to us that we're talking about. So Jesus alone is our hope. Now, in John, the 8th chapter, the 13th verse, I wanted to look at what Jesus said about himself. And so in John, the 8th chapter, the 13th verse, he's talking to the Pharisees, and he says, you are testifying about your... They said to him, you're testifying about yourself. And they say to him, your testimony is not true. Okay, next one. Jesus answered and said to them, even if I testify of myself, my testimony is true. What Jesus is saying is, everything I'm saying about myself is true. For I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going. And then he tells them, but you don't know where I'm going or where I came from. So everything that Jesus said, his words, are true. Now, the question I have to ask here is, Jesus said, my words are true. Do we believe that? If we don't, then we need to ask for revelation on that verse, because faith comes how? By hearing the word of God. And this says, my words are true. That says to me that I ought to get to a point where I can go to the bank on what Jesus has said. So reading this today, I want it to be a faith-building time for us as we are going through this today. Now, if you look in Revelation 1, and don't turn there because I'm not going to be there long. Revelation was given to who? To John. John, the one who Jesus loved. John, the one who wrote 3 John 2. So would you believe that John knew what it was to experience a prosperous soul? I do, because they couldn't kill him. They tried, and they couldn't kill him. And I think what happened was, and you remember in the last chapter of John, he's talking about Peter, and Jesus tells Peter how he's going to die, and Peter says, well, what about John? And Jesus basically says, so what is it to you if I see him again on this earth? That's in essence what he said to him. I believe John got this revelation that I'm going to see Jesus again on this earth. And that word sustained his hope for the coming time when he would see Jesus. And thus he did in Revelation 1. Now, the reason I want to do this, in verse 4 of Revelation 1 and in verse 8, I'm going to read you verse 8 because it's in red letters. Jesus is speaking. He says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I would say Jesus probably said the Aleph and the Tav in the Hebrew language, says the Lord God. And look at this, listen to this phrase, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. What is Jesus telling us about himself there? He's telling us, he's revealing himself in three different aspects of time. Now remember, he doesn't operate in time where he is today. We do. So he's relating to us, and he says, I am today what you need. I was in years gone by what they need and what you need today. And I will be tomorrow what you need today and whatever you need tomorrow. What is he talking about? His faithfulness to you and I to accomplish in our lives and execute those promises that he said to us. In John 14:23, The Word talks about the fact that Jesus says that if anyone loves me and keeps my word, then my Father will love him. And look what it says. We will come and make our abode with him. And we know in other scripture it says, I will not. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So he is there all the time for us. He is faithful, dwelling in us. So let's examine our soul and open our soul up to the Lord for him to teach us. There are times in my life, as time moves on and I'm believing for something, be it healing, be it for a response from the IRS on some ministry paperwork I've submitted, whatever it is, there are times in my life when time goes on that I sense my hope waning. You may be fighting some pain, and pain and time will work against your hope. And so, as I pondered today, I believe what the Lord wants us to do is to, and I think all of us have probably faced this, and I'd say we're at a lot of different stages, but here we are at the end of the year, and I'm looking back at what I had believed and declared the Lord would do, and there's some things that haven't been fulfilled. I ought to be just as excited about it today as I was the day I started declaring it when I felt like he showed it to me, when I perceived he showed it to me. And I am not, just being honest, and I doubt very seriously I'm any different from any of you that are looking at me today or hearing me on a CD today or the video. So, what happens to us? Job 17, the 15th verse says, Job says, where then is my hope? As for my hope, who can see it? Well, that tells me that others can tell whether I'm in hope or not. And my wife does a good job of encouraging me when she sees me straying from some of that. And we need people like that in our lives. Proverbs 13:12. And I want you to look at this one because I have come to see this verse a little bit differently over time. And I'm really going to focus on the first line. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Now, hope deferred, what do I think about that? I was really taught that what this verse means is that hope deferred implies or means what I want but doesn't seem to come. And I can understand that because that's just what I said a while ago, that when things don't manifest as I've prayed for, then if I'm not careful, my hope will be impacted. But I also believe that this verse can mean, well, let me read you the definition in the Hebrew of the word defer there. In the Hebrew, it means to put off or to withhold. So what is deferred? Deferred, what is deferred is not what we're asking for. What is deferred or put off is what? My hope. And so what this implies to me is I have put off hope. And that is what makes my heart sick. If I'm truly in hope, then is my heart going to be sick? No, because I'm in hope and that it will sustain me. That my spirit and soul will sustain me. So I think we've got to be careful and be realistic about things to know when our hope is waning so we can do what we're about to do today. Sit down and begin to speak to ourselves and have that hope built back up and restored in our life. Now, if this is a awakening for you, no panic. Don't even need to be really concerned about it from a standpoint of fearing or what am I going to do. We've got some promises that we're going to go through. And in Proverbs 18:14, the Amplified Version says, the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble. So you have a spirit that is complete inside you that if you will turn and look inward, it will not only sustain you, it will help you reinvigorate that hope that we're supposed to operate in. Now, if I want to look at an example, where do I go? David. A lot of Psalms talking about his soul. But I want to go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, in the previous chapter, David has attached himself to one of the kings, and he went to join the Philistines in fighting, and they basically told him, "We don't want you here." And then it says, so they departed, and they headed back to their home. And so first verse of chapter 30. "Then it happened, when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had made a raid on Negev and Ziklag, and had overthrown Ziklag, and burned it with fire. And they took captive the women, and all who were in it, both small and great, without killing anyone, carried them off, and went on their way." Now the next verse will start and say, when David and his men came to the city. I want you to think about and put yourself in their position. They're still away from the city. And what do they see? Smoke. What do you reckon goes through their heart? What do you reckon came out of their mouth? "Oh my God, what's going on? That looks bad. Oh no." So they were seeing this from afar off. So it wasn't just when they got there. "So when he and his men came to the city, behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive." Now, this next verse to me describes the epitome of no hope. "Then David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep." That's the epitome of no hope. Now, I've got to stop us here. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2, at one time we were without hope, and at that same time we were without God. But we're with God now, and so we always, no matter what's going on, always ought to have hope. And then verse 5 said, "Now David's two wives had also been taken captive." And verse 6 goes on and says, "Moreover," to add on to it, and that's what the devil does, when your hope begins to wane, just look out, because he's going to throw more darts at you. He's going to pile it on. He's mean, and that's his nature. But look what David faces. "David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him, for they were embittered, each one because of his sons and daughters." Now, this next phrase here, "But David strengthened himself in the Lord." This does not say David turned and said, "Lord, strengthen me." There comes a time where we have to strengthen ourselves, going back to what we know, in the Lord. This word, strengthened, here, really means to go and attach oneself to. Now, I find that interesting. David had taken his eyes off the Lord. He was looking at the city. He was looking at all that wasn't there. But when this says he strengthened himself in the Lord, what did he do? He went back and attached himself, refocused his vision to the Lord. And what happened? Then he went and told Abiathar, who was the priest, to bring him the ephod. Now, what was that symbolized? Somebody who could go before God. Well, guess what? You've already been made a priest. You don't have to do anything except just turn back to him. And so David strengthened himself, and then he sought the Lord. "Lord, what do I do?" And you know the rest of the story. Go get them, and you're going to bring them all back. And they did. So this is a lesson to us of what we need to do when we discern, when we are approaching that point of being frustrated. We're asking the question, why, Lord? What's causing this? Or maybe we even say, where are you? When we start this, this is the time for us to strengthen or encourage ourselves in the Lord. So what I want to do in the remaining time we hear today is I want to go through a lot of scriptures to get us anchored on the Word concerning our hope, so that our prosperous soul abounds in hope. So I want you to turn to Lamentations, 3rd chapter. Now, this is not a book that we spend a lot of time in, except for one verse. And we talk about His mercies are new when?
Every morning.
How about if I say His mercies are new when it dawns on you? So it can be this afternoon. It can be right now that you discern and that you get the revelation that His mercies are new because it's dawning upon you. I want to start in verse 18. Here he says, so say I, my strength has perished, and so has my hope from the Lord. So what is he saying? He's saying, I feel like I'm giving up. I don't have any strength. I don't have the fortitude within me to do it. And all that I thought I had with the Lord seems to be gone too. But skip down to verse 20. And it says, surely, and I actually wrote in my Bible, but surely my soul remembers. The correct rendering is really, but my soul will remember. Now, remember what? Remember all that the Lord has done for you. And when you do that, when you go back and remember what He's done previously for you, this says it also is humbled or is bowed down within me. It's not talking about bowed down in bad, but it's talking about being humbled. That will humble you. Now, what are you doing when you humble yourself toward the Lord? You're saying, it's not about me, it's about you. You're getting your attitude adjusted. You're getting your eyes back on Him. And then verse 21, this I recall to my mind. Sounds a lot like remembering, doesn't it? What is he recalling in his mind? All that the Lord has done. And what is the result of that when we begin to start recalling all the things that the Lord has done, starting with our salvation? It gives us hope. I remember one day BJ and I were driving down to our sons in Sylvania, and we spent the first 45 minutes just doing that. Let's talk about all the things the Lord's done and blessed us with our kids. And 45 minutes went by just like that. And the things that we might have been concerned about with any of them had vanished. Now the next verse says, the Lord's loving kindness, His mercy, hased is the word, His covenant love, it never ceases, for His compassions never fail. Verse 23 is the verse we quote. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Let's read that one more time. They are new every morning. They are new now as this revelation gets down in us, as it dawns upon us. They are new every morning, and He is faithful to His word. 24 says, this is my portion. What does that mean? This is the way the Lord designed it to be. This is what you have, says my soul. Who's saying that? Your soul is. Your soul has a voice. And if you program it to the world's thoughts, you don't want to listen to it. If you have your mind renewed, as we talked about in the first time together, then what happens? Therefore I have hope in Him. Verse 25, the Lord is good to those who wait on Him, to the person who seeks Him. What did David do? He strengthened himself by seeking God and turning his focus back to Him. And then finally, verse 26, it is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. Now, what have we learned about the word salvation? What does it encompass? Everything that you need. Nothing missing, nothing broken. So this, what we're talking about today is true in healing. It's talking about in our relationships with others. It's talking about our finances. It's talking about every area of our lives. And I just got to stop because this verse came back up. Joshua, the 25th chapter. It's the last verse in the chapter. And basically it says, all of the good promises that the Lord made to Israel came to pass. Not one failed. Folks, that is being faithful. That's the trust, the confidence we can have in His Word. Now, I've got 15 scriptures written here, and I don't want you to turn to them. We're going to put them up on the screen, but I do want you to write these scriptures down, because these are scriptures that you can use as you begin to speak some things in your life to your soul. Okay? So let's start then. Psalm 42, verse 11. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Quickly. Who is the psalmist talking to here? His soul. We have to speak to our soul. Mark Hankins, a guy that my wife and I enjoy listening to, and I know Trey does as well, he does a thing, and it's really funny, where he's talking about talking to himself in the mirror, and then he says, don't look away from me. That's how we have to put attention on our soul. Okay? Focus on that soul. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed in me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the countenance, the help of my countenance, and my God. So in speaking to his soul, that made me think immediately about Psalm 103. So let me read you the first five verses of Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Who is the psalmist talking to? His soul. Soul, you start blessing the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I guess he turned away from it and had to speak to it and turn back to the mirror. And forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Now, the question then that we have to ask is, who is the psalmist talking to? Himself, but specifically to his own soul. Psalm 38, verse 15. For I hope in you, Lord, you will answer, O Lord my God. This is, again, something we can speak to our soul. Lord, I hope in you. Soul, you hope in the Lord, because he's going to answer me. And this is how we need to talk to ourselves. Psalm 16, verses 8 and 9. I have set the Lord before me always. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Let me stop there. Let's back up. She is there. Look at this phrase. Because he is at my right hand. Where are you seated? You're seated at the right hand. How can he be at your right hand? You can't be unless you're doing this as I'm doing to Connie. Unless you're face to face with him. Do you see that's where he wants us? We can't be at his right hand and he be at our right hand unless we are, in essence, looking at each other. So, I've set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. And what? I shall not be moved. Verse 9. Therefore, what is therefore, therefore? Because we're now face to face with God at his right hand. He's at my right hand. And what did it say? I shall not be moved. So I'm not going to be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. And look at what it says about your flesh. My flesh also will rest in hope. Do you see how your soul begins to have an impact on your flesh then? And it will calm it down when the flesh starts to rise up and those emotions seem to build. Psalm 71, verse 5. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust, my confidence. And this says, from my youth. So now we've talked about our focus on the Lord. And we talked earlier that it's not just the Lord, but it's His Word, because He's true to His Word. Psalm 138, second verse, said He's elevated His Word according to His name. So let's look at Psalm 119, the 49th verse. Remember the word to your servant, upon which you have caused me to hope. What caused you to hope? The word that the Lord spoke to the servant, you. Why can you trust that word? Because the Lord said, I'm watching over my word to perform it. So we need to remember the word which has been spoken, upon which you have caused me to hope. Verse 114. Same chapter. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. And when I read this one, I stopped and went over and looked at the first two verses of Psalm 91. And what jumped out at me is, I will say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord. And was talking about in that hiding place where He keeps us shielded. Psalm 1, or verse 116 in that same chapter. Uphold me according to your word that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. And we could say, and some translations do write this, sustain me per your word. What is that word that's going to sustain us? His word that's doing what? Coming out of our mouth. Just like He says it, when I say it, He's watching over it to perform it. And I would say it, we've been teaching some in Genesis 1. And the Lord would speak, and what would it say? It is. It happened. It came about. Psalm 147, verse 11. Well, how's the Lord going to feel about me since I've kind of waned, but I'm turning back to Him? The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him and those who hope in His mercy. He delights over you. Zephaniah says He's singing and rejoicing over you. When we do what? Turn back to Him because of our submitting in the fear or reverence that we have for Him. Zechariah, the 9th chapter. This is talking about the children of Israel when they were imprisoned. And it says, as for you also, because of the blood covenant, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Why do you have a right to believe to be set free? Because of your blood covenant. And what does He say He'll do? I will set your prisoners free. Verse 12. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. So look at what's happened. We've gone from being a prisoner of our enemy or of our thoughts to we've gone to being a prisoner or submitted to our hope in Him. And look at the results. Even today, I declare that I will restore double to you. Because of the hope that comes alive in us. Two more. Romans 5:5. We saw earlier where the psalmist said, don't let your hope disappoint me. Or hope in you disappoint me. Well, what does Romans say? Now hope does not disappoint. Yeah, but what are other people going to think? What are you looking at? Where's your focus? What are you face to face with? Say that differently. Who are you face to face with? My now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And what did we say earlier? Hope is not something you have to manufacture. In fact, I really believe that a lot of times, and I think I fight this even today, I want to get myself into faith, get my hope up, and all I'm doing is I want it real bad, and I'm trying to make it come up in me myself. This says the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. The verse we read earlier said hope would come because, well, we're going to read it next. So let's just go to the next verse, which is Romans 15, 13, where we started. Romans 15, 13. Now may the God of hope, and I actually wrote, now may the God of all hope fill you with, it doesn't say just joy, it says with all joy. And when you know you're loved and you've got joy, what did I say last week? Love plus joy equals peace. What's going to happen? You're going to have all joy and all peace. Even though all these things are coming against you. Because you're doing what? You're believing. You're trusting. Why? So that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, since we're talking healing school today, let me just read this one verse to you and a couple of things. 2 Corinthians 3:12. I don't know if I gave that to her or not. Therefore, since we have such hope, what kind of hope do we have? Glorious hope, powerful hope, Holy Spirit given hope. We use great boldness of speech. Why is that important? Because we can begin to say what the Lord has said about us pertaining to our healing. Let me just read you three. I am the Lord who heals you. From Exodus 15, 26. We read Psalm 103, verse 3 earlier. You are the Lord who heals all my diseases. And then finally, 1 Peter 2, 23. By your stripes, I am healed. So would you be willing today, if you've sensed your hope waning, for us to take some of these verses and let me rephrase them and come around into a confession that we declare today before God, but also before all these enemies that have come against us and all the demonic that would try to oppress you. Let's declare, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. So I'm going to just speak this out and you repeat it back if you would. We're not going to put it up on the screen. I don't have it on the screen. I'm doing this on the fly. Therefore, Lord, since I have such hope, I'm going to use great boldness of speech. My soul, why are you in despair? Why are you disturbed? Soul, hope in God. Praise God. He is the countenance and my God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Soul, bless the Lord. And forget none of His benefits. Who heals all my diseases. I hope in you, Lord. You will answer. I have set you before me always, Lord. You're at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. My heart is glad, and my glory and my soul rejoice. Flesh, you rest in hope. Father, I remember your word.
It gives me hope.
You are my hiding place.
You are my shield.
Therefore, I have hope
in your word.
You uphold me
according to your word,
that I may live
and not be ashamed
of what I'm hoping for.
The Lord takes pleasure
in those who fear Him.
Therefore, I declare,
you take pleasure in me.
I have hope
in your mercy.
I have hope
in your covenant love.
I have hope
in your loving kindness.
I have been set free
because of the blood of the covenant.
I am now a prisoner of hope
in you, Lord.
You said,
and I say today,
you will restore double to me.
Your hope does not disappoint, Lord,
because your love has been poured out upon us.
Now, Father, I declare
that you,
the God of all hope,
are filling me now
with all joy,
with all peace,
in believing you,
and that my hope
will abound
by the power
of the Holy Spirit
that dwells in me.
Now just worship God with me.
Hallelujah. Father, we bless your name.
We bless your name.
Thank you for causing this hope to rise up against.
You are the Lord who heals us.
You are the Lord who takes away all our diseases.
By your stripes, Lord, we are healed.
Can you put up Isaiah 45, 21, I think it is. If it's not, it's 20. I just want us to see this and all say this together, if we can. Let me look. I may have given it to you backwards. I was thinking I put it in here.
Excuse me. Joshua 21:45.
It helps if I get to the right book.
Joshua 21:45.
Let's say this together. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass.
Now let's say it
this way. Not one of the good promises
which the Lord made to me,
His child,
ever failed.
They all
come to pass.
Real good word, you know, just to remind us, you know, because some of us have been coming to healing school for some time, and I know we've been standing for some time for certain things, and we need to understand that hope comes like faith comes. And how does faith come?
By hearing
by the word of God. We read several scriptures that talk about hope comes the same way, praise God. But I want to add one little thing to what Minton was saying of what he was having us confess concerning this, because this just stood out to me when we were over in Lamentations, when it says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, but because His compassions fail not, they what? You could make an argument, He's talking about the Lord's mercies, or He's talking about the compassions that fail not. I think they're the same thing.
Amen.
So when He says they, the Lord's mercies, His compassions, are new every morning. They are new every morning. Would that include December the 6th, 2018? Is this one of every morning? So what do we say this morning? Say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
That your compassions.
That your compassion.
And your mercies.
And your mercies.
Are new.
Are new.
This morning.
This morning.
December the 6th.
December the 6th.
2018.
2018.
And they will not fail.
And they will not fail.
We need to have hope that today is the day of salvation. It is salvation is for us today. Amen. Praise God. Today, personalize the promises of God. Take these scriptures and apply them to today. And don't, not that I'm waiting, because a lot of times we always think about I'm hoping like it might happen. Right? Expectation that it's today. Today is your miracle. Today is the day the Lord will manifest His glory and His promise in my life. Today is one of these mornings that I can receive His compassions and His mercies. Amen.
And somebody here is saying right now, yeah, but you don't know what I was told yesterday. Well, let me just tell you this. The children of Israel one day were slaves. And after they celebrated the Passover meal, they walked out wealthy. Sounds like prosperity. And they all walked out healed. That is an example of how much He wants it to come to us today. So, if you would like prayer, then Robert and Trey and I will be up here to pray with you. But I urge you, don't just let this come to your ears and you write it down. Go back over this. Because I can tell you, even delivering it today, I could sense it changing me, as even as we were speaking it together.